As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 17, your championship, we hope. Maybe it's a two-week championship. That's also kind of like, okay, but don't you tell us that that championship is Week 18. We're not hearing it. We? Yes, it is the Wolfpack, the three best friends anyone ever had. Jake Seeley in the house, all in kid. Brandon Funston, same name on the Twitter. I am Chris Welsh, at Is It The Welsh. We are all here to kind of hodgepodge you out a championship game. No formal, at least, you know, big formula as we've done in episodes throughout the year, just because week 17 is definitely kind of its own monster. And we're seeing a lot of that, Jake, where we're going to be, we spent about almost 10 minutes off air figuring out what is going on with the biggest piece of news that dropped literally as we were hitting record on this podcast, that the Broncos are sitting Russell Wilson for the rest of the year. They are just straight out hands up. No liability. We're not doing it. Jared Stidham is going to be the starter for the next 2 weeks. And this is all due to contractual cap hell that we are trying to all figure out, Jake.
Well, I thought we figured it out.
Well, I guess we did, but still.
The $37 million bonus kicks in for next year, which doubles down his contract in what is owed. It's the owed versus dead cap versus what goes against their cap. It's all coming to play.
He can't pass a physical. I just want to point out
right. By the start of next season, his contract's still locked in for next season. It's just his cap hit almost doubles with that bonus kicks in because the bonus Arsenal carries past next year. This is really about not having to double down his contract. What hits their cap next year? They're still under contract for 2024, under contract for 2025. After that, they can start having a conversation, but this just has to do with how much the cap hit's going to be next year if he was hurt to open the start of next season. But the point is, he's not a quarterback, which meant right as we started the show, I moved down Javonte Williams, I moved down Cortland Sutton, who might not even play. I moved down Jerry Jeudy. Actually, no, that's not true. I ticked up Jerry Jeudy two spots because of how Stidham plays. So I actually moved him up two spots, which is really irrelevant. I mean, who cares? Jerry Jeudy at this point. But it's more about Sutton and Javonte, although Javonte's barely been playable as it is.
Yeah, so sometimes there's some of those like type of moves we've got to deal with in week 17 injuries and only so much we can battle. And there might only be one or two type of player. Who knows? Maybe there's a Jeudy out there that someone is going to be faced with the decision. But Brandon, we were kind of almost doing the Always Sunny meme of Charlie just with the mat. We're like, wait, okay, if he goes here and he does this with the Russell Wilson. But I guess we did kind of figure that out. This all just came from simply not getting hurt and being able to pass a physical next week, but it's caused a bunch of commotion. And I don't know. I mean, the amount of the named quarterbacks we're going to have in week 17 is getting really, really gross. Yep.
Yeah. I think Denver just basically signaled that we are taking every step from here on out to mitigate the damage of the Russell Wilson contract to us. So whatever moves need to be made going forward so that we can get out of this with the least amount of financial impact, they are going to make those moves.
Yeah. And that's what they did. And the eye opener also was like, they're still technically in a playoff race, but you know, it would have taken,
Guess it would have anymore.
probably
Yeah, it would have taken one of those like Rube Goldberg type of situations for them to bup, 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 and this perfect little scenario hits where they could have done it. Like the entire AFC North has a better record than the Broncos. So you'd have had to like win.
Well, I think they've won this year. Like I think the fan base is back in. They feel good about where things are going under Sean Payton. And this is just a step. Like getting all the way to the playoffs was probably too much to ask anyways. I think people are going to be happy. Like, okay, yeah, let's figure out how we take the next step in how we get out of Russell Wilson as quickly as possible.
I like it. Jake, is there, what is the, is like the air, the grievances type of thing? I'll say, is there any like championship fantasy football championship air, the grievances that you'd like to have, especially as
Festivus,
we're
you mean
Festivus. Yeah. Our, this will be our fantasy Festivus where we're out of Christmas. We're just about into the new year. This is the last episode before a brand new year starts, but you know, week 17, there can always be, I don't know, just some people. Oh my gosh, I was the highest scored person and I didn't do blah, 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 blah. How, what is your fantasy Festivus? Oh, it could be, oh, I don't know, a sixth place team in a big important league picking up someone on waivers during the championship of the flex leagues. It could, you know, no, who knows of what it could be.
I'll go back to it from last week. How about I'll give you mine. If I thought you were talking about what's the most common one I'm seeing. I will give you the one that I was rolling along in flex live snake and that I won seven. I was 7-1, won all my matchups, missed one tie break towards the downstretch at to just sneak into the playoffs, the last seed. I waited at Kamara. I was waiting on all these injuries. I was playing the long game. Nobody wanted to trade with me. I'm like, fine, played the long game, snuck in and I was rolling and I was still rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. Get Jamie Eisenberg last week. He has Brock Purdy, only scores 117. But it didn't matter because Kamara, DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson, Trey McBride, and the Colts defense combined for less than 15 points. That's all you need to know is that I had the matchup. I was ready to go. I was like, man, I'm going to be, you know, the upset king. And yeah, it was miserable. Like my wide receivers alone were, I mean, DK Metcalf outscored my other three wide receivers. That's all you need to know. And DK Metcalf only had 13.6.
Yeah, Sam just, Laporta hurt my
some
heart.
Of those things happened. Like, it, everything could have possibly went wrong. At least I didn't face George Pickens and Amari Cooper in the same team like I saw some people.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, there also has to be an element of, like, we just put our hands up and it's like, okay, we just don't have control. Like, I had the same thing. I had a guillotine team that was a monster and Tyreek didn't do much, Kamara, nothing, Laporta, not, I mean, everybody that got me there just kind of failed. I did have one, my most important league, 16-team keeper league, I thought I lost, so I didn't look at my matchup because I was so mad and angry, and then I found out the next day I won because I had stuck myself into starting the Ravens defense against the 49ers, which I was so upset about. They literally scored like 25 points and they put me into the championship because I beat the other guy by three. So I guess I can't complain. Brandon, do you have a fantasy Festivus here? You want to air out your grievances of we should all play roto football, or, you know, we should play to week 18 or we should end in week 13, or I don't know, you know, we should pay out the guy that finishes first, whatever. There's the same grievances are always out there.
Yeah, no, nothing major. I mean, I had to remember to freeze rosters immediately when the playoffs started because one team started just cutting its whole team for no apparent reason whatsoever. And someone was still like wanting to, you know, play the waivers, even though they weren't in the actual playoffs. And so I had to like roll back some rosters and like, you know, reprimand people and tell them to stop being idiots and stuff. Yep. But that was annoying. I would just say in general, like this year sucked from the standpoint that, you know, a huge game is on literally Christmas Eve and Christmas. And the run up to that is, you know, people's lives are crazy. So I was having a hell of a time, like trying to keep track. I had four teams going, you know, and trying to keep track of injury information. And frankly, I wouldn't have mattered. I did lose in the flex semifinals. I had Josh Jacobs in my lineup and I did not get I did not have an option to replace him by the time I figured out he wasn't going to play, but I lost by way more than that would have mattered anyways. But I was just annoyed, you know, at that, and that all came down right on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You know, it's like, God, the biggest time of the year is basically also the biggest time of the year for us being distracted.
Everyone's all happy and Brandon's just sitting there just sulking like, oh, Brandon, what's wrong? You're like, Josh Jacobs is out. Christmas is ruined. This is ridiculous. Yeah, so
basically, Josh Jacobs ruined my Christmas. No doubt about it.
Well, probably not the only one. So, all right, little fantasy Festivus. Air out the grievances, and we'll hear all of them next week as well. Should have. All right. Could have, would have, should have. That's how it goes. Should have. It's like I've seen it for the whole week, and it's like, hey, I'm sitting here and I'm happy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I skirted in on a championship that is being manned by Jake Browning. And let's see if Browning cannot be who Browning was this past week. I actually got a question for him here in just a tiny bit. So it's kind of a hodgepodge. If you guys are looking for Jake's ranks, they're up and you should check them out. Very invaluable. Obviously not telling anybody, hey, go, you know, sign up today to get your week 17 ranks, but you should be in preparation. Yeah, I mean, you could, but my point is like you should do it now for more preparation for next year, so you just don't have to think about it. So you've got access to the ranks and the waivers all year long and all the off-season content, so it doesn't even have to be a thing. And that's what I would suggest, because I perused through the article. It was very great. This week, you also had the Photoshopped Jake Seeley cartoon versions that you do with Pat Mayo. Those are pretty classic. There are a couple good ones. All I would say is this.
Did you vote?
I haven't yet. If you've ever wanted to see Jake photoshopped as his favorite cartoon characters, or some just not even cartoon, you can go and vote on the best one. Jake, there are a couple that took me back a little bit that kind of scared me. What was your favorite, Jake? Or do you want to even give your favorite?
No, the problem was is I couldn't figure. I was originally just going to rank them. That was going to be my fun with ranks this week, is 1 through 14. And then I was actually talking to Nicole. I'm like, man, I don't know whether to go with the one that looks the coolest, or the fact that it's Darkwing Duck and I go with him, or the funniest with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which that's I thought was going to be winning. It's not winning. I thought that was going to win.
My Jake, favorite.
The best Photoshop, I'm just going to point out here, whether it's your favorite or not, there's some really good ones in here. Like there's a Star Wars one.
Can I guess which one you're going to say is the best one?
No, I don't know if I have a best one. My favorite is the Ninja Turtles. I will tell you, I do think there's one that is terrifying, and you can guess that one.
Oh, terrifying. I thought you were going to say which one was the best one. Is
Mario Lopez?
Yes, the Saved by the Bell one is a Pat.
I wasn't sure which one was Jake at first, and then I was like, oh, I think they're making Jake Mario Lopez there.
Both are terrifying looks, both Pat and you. Those do scare me, but the video games are all really classic. These are all really great, but my favorite is you as Vanilla Ice being held up by the Ninja Turtles.
That alone is Nicole's favorite. So anyway, this was her idea to put it into poll form and let people vote instead of my doing my ranks. I thought you were going to say which one was the best done. So the one that was best done, I'll let everybody, speaking to Nicole, my wife, by the way, is the Suits one. She legitimately said, did you frost your tips for a picture? Like she looked at it. She's like, why are you wearing a suit? And what did you do to your hair for the picture? And I was like, no, that's Photoshopped Harvey from Suits.
Yeah. I think the
that's pretty good.
What is it? Goku or the anime one? I don't do anime.
Dragon Ball.
The Dragon Ball one. That one that actually creepy. I think that actually might be one of the best because the Photoshop works with the animation and stuff. But again, you as anyway. Vanilla Ice is like,
yeah. Saved by the Bell is winning right now.
Really, that one is the most terrifying. go check it out. You can get all that great stuff. I imagine Brandon, you must have had a grand time looking at this, editing this, and seeing all of those, and being like, "Yep, this is where."
I was kind of following him and Nando talking about in the thread about how you're going to put a poll in there, and I wasn't really, you know, I hadn't looked to see what was talked about by what we were polling, and then I went there and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the Star Wars one actually might be the cleanest edit of all of them.
That was the very first one of the year.
Oh yeah. Pat is whatever, Adam Driver, and you is, I don't know any of their names.
Kylo Ren.
The Gandalf-y one at the end, I kind of like too.
Yeah, no, that one is definitely good.
That one, his graphic guys did completely from scratch on his own because at a t-shirt, and it's the Fantasy Football Wizard, and it was legitimately a wizard on a unicorn, and that's where he got that from.
Yeah, they're very, very good. So lock into all of those. Those made me laugh. But I went through, and we picked out some stuff here because it's a little bit different in championship week.
Now you're going to have to put that all at the end of the episode at this point.
Yeah, no, we're fine. It's week 17. Come on.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, let's talk about a few of the other things. We already talked about the Broncos situation. We have more quarterback news. Jacoby Brissett has been named the starter this week against the 49ers in Washington. So Sam Howell experience is done, at least for this week. Jake, highs or lows for Jacoby as the quarterback? I mean, I guess it's not about, I'm not going to try to tout Jacoby here for any desperate team like me who has Jake Browning, but what do you think that does to the weapons around him, positive or negative?
I think it makes weapons plural. I say one.
Yeah, sorry.
I say it's a bad matchup with the 49ers, but I think it makes McLaurin more of a boom than the bust version. He's still boom or bust, but I think it gives him a little bit more boom. I kind of mentioned it in the column and even said this before. It's the Joe Flacco is what Brissett's doing. Like Flacco is just, he's taking the easy. He's having fun. He's just chucking the ball down, feeling like, I don't care. Defense is great. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. What do I have to lose? And he's just playing like free spirited. And it's a very small sample, but both times Brissett has come in, it's doing the same thing. He's just like, well, I'm just going to, what do I got to lose? I'm not even starting this game. Might not even start next week. I'm just going to chuck it downfield. He's already talked about retiring. So the biggest thing is, again, small sample, but he's over 2.6 yards per attempt of his career high, not his career norm, his career high. This is a guy we've known to keep it short, to keep it simple, to keep the check downs, the tight ends, and he's just chucking it downfield. Again, now they were losing both games, nothing to care about when he came in. The 49ers are different. But the point being is I think there's a little bit some more appeal for Terry McLaurin. He took more shots downfield. He threw to Terry McLaurin more consistently than Sam Howell has been spreading around, and Sam Howell's favorite option so far has still continued to be Curtis Samuel. So that's all. It just makes McLaurin from pretty much benchable to him. You might play him as a high Gabe Davis wide receiver three now.
Yeah, I've got a McLaurin question we'll get to later. Brandon, is there anything else on this situation? I mean, Curtis Samuel has been kind of a lock all year. I don't know if this changes in your mind. Obviously, McLaurin started to pop with Brissett. 49ers secondary, it's just been garbage. So, you know, they can throw, and that's going to be Washington's thing. Is there anybody else that pops for you, or is this just kind of a McLaurin or bust game?
Yeah, I think I pretty much echo everything Jake said. I think from a non-fantasy standpoint, it's kind of interesting because Eric Bieniemy has done nothing to hurt his stock, even though this Washington team is, you know, close to firing Ron Rivera. And I don't know if you guys saw the kind of the rumblings that they're wondering if the Chiefs make, assuming the Chiefs make the playoffs and Rivera and crew get fired, that the Chiefs might reach out and grab Bieniemy to come run the offense again. So, That would be an interesting turn of events as we head into the playoffs.
That would actually. We also, another turn of events we had was in New York. Brandon, we'll start with you on this one. The Tommy DeVito experience is over. He has been benched. Yeah, for Tyrod Taylor. All the jokes online are clearly about the Rao's sauce. As soon as you have your canned sauce or your bottled sauce, you lose your job. But he's also, you know, not good. So that might be a more of a reason to focus on outside of the marinara sauce. But, you know, whatever your take is here. Tyrod Taylor in at quarterback. Does it change anything for you on any of the way? I mean, we can always have this conversation. What giant do you have in the championship? What championship team is rostering a giant at this point? But is there anybody that, you know, in desperation
Barkley.
You're floating around? Maybe.
Barkley, yeah. I think if you talk about the passing game, I think it's Darren Waller. That's it, right? Like, he's someone that – I played him last week over Tyler Conklin. That was my choices. And, you know, actually didn't work out. I actually should have played Tyler Conklin. It didn't change by a whole lot. But the one thing was Darren Waller caught two passes on, like, basically the final drive from Tyrod Taylor. Looked pretty good, but he also looked like he was basically breaking right in front of my eyes. Like, he looked – hurt on both times that he caught the ball. So I don't even know if he's going to be that healthy this week. So I think the general point here is it's much like the Commanders. It's one guy in bust, and that's Saquon Barkley.
By the way, did your dog come running to you when you did that, Jake?
Yeah,
Barkley. You just yelled Barkley randomly.
When I said Barkley, she yeah, of course. Came over.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, I don't know if the Barkley teams are there.
And now she's confused. Now she's, Nicole just came downstairs and I said it again. And now she's like kind of going back and forth.
She just like gets on all fours. She's like, are you calling me or not? What are we doing here? But yeah, Tyrod Taylor added to this awesome group of quarterback names that are going to be starting in week 17. We will look back on the quarterbacks and we'll be like, oh yeah, this is why we don't play into week 18. Like, you want to push it as early as you possibly can. The only other piece of news, TJ Hockenson officially out for the year. Tore all the stuff, and there might be some concern for next year. Jake, do you have any concern for Hockenson like next year as far as recovery? Because I think it was ACL and MCL.
Was it double. I think this really just comes into play of not quite Cooper Kupp. I mean, even it's tight end. It's tough because Hockenson's top five. So you can play the Cooper Kupp situation where it's like, all right, even if I miss him for 4 weeks, but when you have both, it could be he comes back in week six, and what if he's Javonte Williams? Like, in that aspect of, like, Javonte is a good, hey, let's remember him next year if he's fifth, sixth round still, and take a chance that he just wasn't 100%. As we've seen some running backs like Breece Hall, great. Javonte Williams, not so much. Like, sometimes these things happen. So it's concerning that it might be next year Hockenson doesn't even look like himself for the entire season, but it's tight end. So you're going to take that chance. So I'm assuming as of today, I mean, what would you say, Funston? He gets drafted in, like, eighth round, just because you know the upside if he gets anywhere close to what he was?
Yeah, I will say that I think we're going to go into next year, though, thinking that it's not going to be such a dearth of talent at tight end because of the actual year. No, but this was a legit solid rookie class. And before Luke Musgrave went out for the year, he was bubbling up, and Dalton Kincaid, and like there's a lot, I think, to like next year to tight end more so going into this year. Guys like Dalton Schultz and Jake Ferguson weren't like huge names for us going into this year, but then Evan Engram had he's going to have a 100 catch season, you know? So like, I think there's going to be more to think about a tight end, which means that we may not reach for the idea that TJ Hockenson comes back healthy quite as high, but I think we're still going to reach a little bit for sure.
You might have to do those pairings. You might be like, I'll take Tucker Kraft at tight end 10, and then I'll take Hockenson a little bit after and have, you know, Kraft be the guy early on, or however you
Musgrave. That's what I like.
Musgrave as well. Yeah, 100%. And it was an MCL and an ACL, so that's a big thing. You could look to Josh Oliver through the rest of this year. If you are playing beyond just even this week, Josh Oliver should be the main tight end, whatever type of leagues you're in. If you're making those decisions where you're like, hey, Brennan, if you had the decision this week between Conklin or now Oliver, what side would you go with?
Jeez, I don't know. I have a feeling that it could be option C. I'd scour the waiver wire another option to put in there. Maybe Oliver.
Oliver love. Jeez.
I mean, I might just potential unknown upside of Oliver versus like the Conklin 4 for 36 experience, you know, or 3 for 36 experience, you know.
Until it's Johnny Munt who gets the touchdown. He's still on the Vikings.
That's always a good play. Here's a couple questions that come straight from Jake's article for this week for your championship week. And a couple players you highlighted, so let's touch on them. Would you roll out the touchdown god DeMarcus Robinson? And I give you a who'd you rather. I know the rank, but let's just put it to test for both of you guys. DeMarcus Robinson or a Drake London? So you're talking like back in wide receiver 3. Robinson can kind of float around those spots, but they have been getting him the ball consistently. So, Brennan, let's start with you. DeMarcus Robinson or Drake London?
That's interesting. I would have said before yesterday, I would have said Drake London. But then I read Jake's little note about how little Drake London is targeted with Taylor Heinicke. And, and DeMarcus Robinson's basically sucked up all of the snaps of Tutu Atwell and Ben Skowronek combined. He basically plays, he's on the field as much as Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua is now. So I might chase that touchdown upside with the fact that DeMarcus Robinson is actually out there and in play a lot. So I think I'm going to go DeMarcus Robinson on this one.
Jake, I know where the ranks are. I can check the link, but sitting on it here, anything, you know, maybe you could even put into context, like you're trying to swing for the fences type of play, you know, projected behind. Is there anything that gets you DeMarcus Robinson over London?
So does DeMarcus Robinson set the season high for most touchdown consecutive games at 5? There's been other players who've done it 4, but I mean, he would tie the league lead for 5 with some of the elites this year. If he doesn't get it,
I mean, what are you going to get, 3 for 40 something? Like, I have him close, though. So if you want, I'm not going to argue too much with Funston on this. And I, yeah, the number he's referring to is that there's not even 8% of the team targets that go to Drake London when Heineke is under center. Heineke actually spreads it around, throws the tight end some more. So I get it. I would honestly say at this point, the funny thing is that London is the boom bust play. Like, that's like Robinson. So like, if he doesn't get the touchdown, I said, what, 3 for 40 something? That's still more than London might get.
Yeah, so, that was my point when you said that. I was like, so what's London's line look like then if you're not happy with 3 for 42?
They both have a ceiling, but I still think that you could always, like, if Heineke just happens to wake up and lock in on him and get some 10 targets, the ceiling's still higher. It's a bad matchup, though, too. So I would actually say the safest is Robinson. And then if you want to argue, hell, this is one of those situations. This is my ranks early Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Projections are tomorrow. If the projections come out as boom, DeMarcus Robinson, I'll be like, okay, I'm convinced. A lot of times I run my projections. So it's ranks, projections, ranks. So that's how I do it. And because I come back around after my projections, this is one of the ones where, like, I would let it decide for me. Like, that's how close it is.
Okay. I like this. So DeMarcus Robinson might be a play for you championship week, everybody.
Could be.
He really could be. That's where we're at. And I'll bet you the team does have an understanding of that touchdown record that's sitting on the line. That's something that's going to be floating out there.
Yeah, that's what they're going to go for.
Yeah, 100%. Well, they're trying to play for something, Jake. This one, I'll make it like a dual part here. Stroud was practicing on Wednesday, so it's a good sign for him to get back into action. This is the two-parter. With Stroud back on the matchup, how high do you want or will you put Nico Collins? Like, can Nico Collins be a wide receiver one? I've seen some discourse out there putting him over some big wide receivers. And is Noah Brown a huge beneficiary this week, as in a must play? Jake, we'll start with you.
Start with Funston.
We'll start with Funston. Funston, we'll start with you. Nico, wide receiver one, Noah Brown, must start with Stroud.
I quickly did a ranking. I didn't do all my rankings this week because I'm not like Jake where I have to push him out to the masses. But I saw this one, so I quickly did a ranking. I ended up with Noah Brown at 32. So I feel like he's a solid wide receiver play, wide receiver three play. For Nico, I'm probably gonna run up against that top 20 lid and think that, and he lands like right around there, maybe just borderline top 20. 20-ish, maybe as high as 19. I don't think I'm going to push him all the way to wide receiver one, though.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jake, now you almost in your early ranks have Nico as a wide receiver one, but what do you think the discourse 14. Around Stroud being there?
Yeah, I think as long as Stroud's out there, Nico Collins top 15 play. I have Nico Collins in front of Devonta Smith against Arizona, which if you want to nitpick, I'm fine about that. I have Nico Collins in front of Amari Cooper, even as good as Amari Cooper has been in that share, but he's facing the Jets. Now, I mean, I have Amari Cooper still inside my top 20, but Nico Collins over Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that was the one I saw online earlier.
Devonta Adams, yeah. That's a problem. I mean, when you don't even throw a pass for three quarters, like there's some names that I definitively play. And Noah Brown's not far behind him. Noah Brown's at 30. Like, Noah Brown has top 15 upside as well. Noah Brown over all the Packers, Deontay Johnson, Rashid Shaheed, I'm pretty high on, over Cortland Sutton, even if healthy. That was actually Cortland Sutton with Russell Wilson, so forget that now, too, on top of it.
Very, very close. And that's where we're sitting with Stroud back into play. We talked about this. I guess this one has changed a little bit because Russ Wilson is out. But I just wanted to hit on this point on what you wrote in the article. It was you brought up Marvin Mims. And the potential of Sutton not being there, Judy jumps up, but you kind of highlighted Mims here. A, your excitement to Mims if Sutton isn't there, but B, with no Russ Wilson, has any of that changed, Jake? Like, is Mims a big dart throw you're willing to get out there without Sutton, but also without Russ?
He's still there if the assumption what the write-up was for. So I have Mims. I mean, he's, as of right now, he's wide receiver 5-6 range. It's like kind of desperation. He's getting more use late, but this also comes down to, we know it's no Russell Wilson, so, you know, maybe Stidham likes him. I mean, this is one of those scenarios where we don't know who Stidham's going to like the most, but it comes down to Mims was mostly in play, even with Stidham, if Sutton's not out there, then because then he's potentially a top two, although watch Brandon Johnson just catch 2 touchdowns or something stupid again.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that, like, why are we talking Marvin Mims when little Jordan Humphrey and Brandon Johnson,
little Jordan Humphrey, yeah.
They both played more snaps and they both actually scored more fantasy points because they both got in the end zone. You know, and that was, you know, basically Cortland Sutton scoring a touchdown a week. So they were the guys that benefited from it. So Marvin Mims, I mean, that was a season high, 4 catches, and it wasn't the season high in yards, but he's kind of like completely mostly missed, and every once in a while a really big hit, you know.
This is the time I just want to point out, this is where Marvin Mims has 2 big weeks, so we all talk about him next year. Just that little taste, you know, a couple end of rounds, couple catches, touchdown.
Chris, this is championship week, man. I don't know if we're gonna drive that narrative into your championship lineup.
Not into the championship lineup. We can't start it, but I'm just saying this is the thing that's gonna keep Marvin Mims' hope alive for next year where we talk about it, but you got to be desperate. One more on these, and then we're going to play some season on the line ranks here. CEH, you posed a great question, Jake, in there. I mean, CEH could be one of those few players that are sitting out there if there was no Pacheco, where it could be a game changer for your lineup, especially if you're in some desperation need. But I wanted to touch on the idea that Pacheco is still there. Everybody else is out, and we saw CEH getting involved. Maybe not as much on the early front. Would you, with CEH, would you go Judy or CEH with Pacheco? If, let's say Sutton plays, and we'll start with you, Brandon, who would you rather have? I guess we could even, I feel like you're going to say Judy immediately if there's no Sutton, but screw it. Let's do no Sutton. Judy with no Sutton or CEH with Pacheco. I couldn't decide.
Yeah, I think I agree with Jake. I think Stidham works better with Judy, and with no Sutton, I would lean towards who I would expect to be the number one receiver for the Broncos.
What if there was no Pacheco and it was CEH Soul versus Judy?
That's just CEH. Yeah.
Jake, is there a scenario where Pacheco plays that CEH gets into some flex lineups, or do you think the wide receiver grouping is too good in that, too good, air quotes of too good, but like just better options to go with outside of hoping CEH has another, you know, end zone catch or get some of that goal line usage?
No. When Pacheco's out there, it's Pacheco. Pacheco's nearly a bell cow, bell cow, top 5 bell cow, 70-80% of the workload when he's out there. So if they're going to say he's healthy, the magic of concussions being fixed at the end of the season is fun. Mm-hmm. But if he's out there, I wouldn't risk CEH outside of some deep leagues. It really comes down to why I said it's no discussion. That's in the article, too. There's only been 3 running backs this year that haven't even scored a dozen 12-plus points against the Bengals. And strangely enough, they're all, like, decent names. Kyren Williams, but that was Kyren Williams back when he was just taking over. James Cook, bad game, and that was before Dorsey was being fired. And then Zach Moss would have had it, but he got the touchdown called back. So it's kind of, even those, you can kind of see that Bengals can't stop anybody on the ground.
What would CEH be if Pacheco is ruled out?
Well, you already know. I don't have Pacheco in my lineup.
Oh, yeah, I guess you do. Yeah, I guess I completely missed it. So, okay, we'll say the number. You can tell us exactly.
17.
Yeah, 7. And you'd start him over Elliott and Chuba Hubbard.
And Ty Chandler and James Conner and Aaron Jones and Tony Pollard and Breece Hall.
Those are quite the names. So CEH could be one of the big guys we talk about in championship week. With your season and your championship on the line, you are faced with Baker Mayfield or Trevor Lawrence, Brandon Funston. What quarterback are you going with in week 17?
And why?
I'm going to go with It's Baker Mayfield because I think, look at, throw the name. I mean, look at, these guys are both number one overall picks. So I was going to say throw like the, you know, the name brand out, but they both have the blooms off the rose for both of these guys. I think you got to kind of look at them as the same quarterback, and then you look at the matchup. And frankly, we're here in week 17, and Carolina has allowed two quarterbacks to throw for more than 238 yards. The highest on the season was like Geno Smith early in the year at like 290. One other quarterback has like 268, and all the rest are 238 and under. Not very many multiple touchdown games. And part of the fact is Carolina's terrible, and teams get leads, and they don't throw on them a whole lot. But they also, like, the best part of their defense is their pass defense. So I think the matchup favors Baker. I would play Baker over Trevor Lawrence.
Echoed, Mr. Jake Seeley?
I mean, I'm the one that skewed the question, so yes, absolutely.
Did you feel compelled at all? Like, I wanted to ask this, but it's like, I see it in the rank, and I can already hear Jake being like, well, my rank says, blah, 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 and I'm like, okay. But, like, Tua versus Baltimore is one spot above Baker versus New Orleans. I just wondered how close you were to being like, screw it, we're riding with Baker championship week over at Tua.
I'll give permission if people want it. How about that? Baker, honestly, Baker's safer.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Waddle's dicey with that ankle sprain. I don't think
happening. I don't have Jalen Waddle in. And the fact is, though, but going through it, is that it's more of a Tyreek Hill thing, is that Tua is still 90% Tua without Waddle. He's like 50% Tua without Tyreek Hill. He can make this up. And if you go to the column as well, I mentioned this in the, well, the offset could not just only be Cedric Wilson or Durham Smythe, because you get some use from the tight end. Is that Achan's workload goes up whether Tyreek or Jalen Waddle come off the field. One of those being off the field, and he's almost got double the team target percentage and gets a 10%, almost 10 percentage points boost in his touches.
Wouldn't you know it? What a transition. Season on the line. Two running backs to decide from, Austin Ekeler or Devon Achan. Jake?
Still Ekeler. One spot in front of him. It comes down to one spot. I trust Ekeler. I trusted Ekeler last week, but he was still only a fringe RB2. He should have been higher. But what it comes down to is he had almost 82% of the work last week. They still won him, but what happened the week before that? He was gone by the second quarter, middle of the second quarter. And what I pointed out in the column is that he's getting the use when the games are close, and the Broncos have only gotten three games winning by a touchdown plus. And now with Stidham, this points to, like, yeah, this is going to be a one-score game. Basically, if it's a one-score game, Austin Eckler's getting all the work. Austin Ekeler doesn't get the work when skewed either way. When it's a double-score game, or two-score game, plus or minus. This shouldn't be one of those games. So I would still go Ekeler. And honestly, with that news, I might even push him up a few spots, not too many more, though.
Oh, that's important, though, because currently Ekeler nor Achan are RB2s in your rank. So a couple spots could change Ekeler to bumping up into an RB2. Brandon, same thing.
Could even see the conversation with Tony Pollard versus Ekeler now.
And Pollard, 20. Yeah, I mean, so you'd be putting him into like a more comfortable RB2 range, which, by the way, would be great for me because championship week, I'm riding.
I mean, look at Ekeler Pollard here. last 17th finish with 8 for 37 against Philly on the receiving, and 34th against Buffalo, 46th against Miami. And then he had that little stretch where we got excited again against Carolina, Washington, Seattle. Oh, by the way, what can they do? Stop the run. And then before that, it was 38, 28, 37, 11, 31, 27. Like,
I think you just talked yourself into Ekeler over Pollard.
I'll do it right now on the show.
Let's go. Brandon, I feel like if we were doing the rank show and it was just you and I, we would be talking about, you know, Eckler's usage bumping up this past week and then going up what is still one of the worst season total defenses in the Broncos. And a theoretical just like, well, we're going to hang it up here with the backup quarterback coming in. So that we're kind of primed here for Ekeler. But then you also have this case of like, with one of those guys out, Achan's production can kind of bump up. Ekeler or Achan for you?
It's Ekeler right now. I mean, before he had that awful game where he got pulled and they lost by 40 to Las Vegas, he had 100 yards, a touchdown, and 5 catches against the team he'll be playing, you know, in the Broncos. So good matchup. We feel good about his workload again. As Jake mentioned, this should be a competitive enough game where he hangs around in it. One thing I'll say is, where are we at on the Raheem Mostert? Like, he didn't play. He was out are we sure that he's 100% going to be playing this week? Because if he's out, that changes it. I'd definitely go.
That makes all the difference right there.
Yeah. Well, touchdown hog and Mostert 100%. Last one. Let's go to wide receivers. Your season on the line. How about Terry McLaurin with his new bestie, Jacoby Brissett, or George Pickens after the monster week? That helped nobody. So, Mr. Brandon Funston, you had your season on the line week 17. Which wide receiver are you going with?
I can't go against my Seahawks, man. I think the Seahawks have shut down the Steelers' offense. Yeah, I'm going to go with McLaurin. I just think that there's more. I think there's probably more touchdown upside with Pickens, but I don't know that there's even going to be, you know, I don't know the likelihood that McLaurin could get 5 or 6 catches versus McLaurin getting like 3 catches and not scoring a touchdown. I'd rather chase the McLaurin side of that. Like, I think that we're too hit or miss with Pickens in this one.
Jake, do you think Pickens is still like can turn into a pumpkin and just, you know, big old donuts served to everybody?
Well, so Faustin's probably referencing in my column. I mentioned this. So since week 3, because the first 2 or 3 games, the Seahawks were complete utter trash on defense.
Yeah.
But since then, there's been 3 wide receivers that have top 90 yards against them. 3 all year. CeeDee Lamb, and then same game, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. It kind of tells you. And they haven't faced slouches for every single game outside of that. I mean, they have faced some, but it's not been a cakewalk for the rest of the year. That being said, you know, it's also George Pickens' first 100-yard game since week 7. But it is Mason Rudolph, and I'm going to give the slightest of slight edges just because it's not the 49ers to George Pickens. They're only 2 spots apart. McLaurin moved up, and I still didn't move him past Pickens. This is another one. Like, if you want to go McLaurin, I don't have a problem with it. I just think, like, if Mason Rudolph, and they've already said he is, for all intents and purposes, they alluded to it as much as you can allude to something. Mason Rudolph and George Pickens, I'll chase it one more time. And I'm the person that was kind of saying, don't do it. I just did all in football with Meany and Lauren. I was like, don't go chasing him, slamming inside your top 20 ranks, but I would still take him barely over McLaurin.
All right, there you go. Those are some things for you to chew on for week 17. You guys got your lineups. You know, don't get too cute in the championship week. Don't cry.
Use your bench. Block your opponent.
Oh, okay. So start dumping dumb bench players to pick up the players that the others.
But don't dump like running backs that they could put into their lineup. Just look for ways to block them as many spots as you can.
Would waivers clear in most leagues before Sunday games if you were to make the move today? I guess it probably would, wouldn't it?
Is the turnaround? No, most leagues it's like a day or so. I mean, like, yeah, if you're gonna drop. If they are screwing around and they have injury questions and you wait till Saturday or Sunday, depending on what your waiver turnover is before they're available again, definitely check that out. Like, some sites are like 48 hours and then you can drop them on Friday. It'll tell you. Cause like when you do, it'll show the little what day, but yeah, like if you're not going to use Zeke, don't be like, oh, I'm going to drop Zeke. Like,
I was going to say my home league, I got veteran maneuvered by a guy in my league when going into that Monday night game, Jalen Hurts was questionable and the guy made the early move to pick up Mariota and just put him on his bench. And I was screwed. Yeah, I had to basically throw Drew Locke on my bench and hope that maybe if Mariota played that Drew Locke would play. And he ended up playing, but luckily Hurts played and it worked itself out.
Yeah. What an all-time play that would have been.
Oh, do you want me to give you one more Festivus as we get out of here?
Yes, of course. Air the grievance.
My home league that I blew up in like week 6 because of how wrong everything went to start this year. It's a super flex. I didn't even have a second quarterback. My only quarterback is I traded everything. I have the dynasty squads of dynasty squads and it's only a 5-man keeper. But anyway, I have 1 quarterback, Bryce Young. I was the 2nd highest scoring team last week with 1 quarterback, watching me score over 150 points as everybody went ballistic with 1 quarterback as I sit outside in the toilet bowl.
That's
was that Amari Cooper?
No, I don't even have Amari Cooper. That's the like,
you had to
because it's all young people because I told you I only have, look, here, real quick, because everybody's already tuned out anyway as soon as I said about my team. It was Young, Hall, Achan, Ridley, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua, Kincaid, Wicks, and Jordan Addison was the starting lineup.
Oh my God. It's a pretty good line. So, man, that's unfortunate. It all blew up. That was pretty good. That's the what ifs, right?
Samir White on the bench.
If only you were.
I had a league. I had Cooper in and he had 70 points because it's like distance scoring and first down scoring. And like, it was insane.
What was the grievance? Are you just want everybody to know you scored the most?
No, I'm mad that my team's going off late in this. I destroyed my team. I was at last place because I gave up in week 6 or after week 6.
planning for next year. And the last actual couple of weeks, it's been going, I mean, look at the names I just listed, including like Josh Downs and Zamir White and stuff like that on the bench. It's been going off. It's been going nuts.
The rebuild is going well. I think that's the big thing. Only other thing I would add in that whole bench conversation, pay attention to defenses. Don't be afraid if there's some good defensive matchups.
Raiders. Pick those
up and take them off the block for other people. Or don't be afraid to dump yours. It's a championship week, you know? Go crazy. Go nuts if you need to. This is it. Should be it. Don't play to week 18. That is it, though, for us. We'll be back next week in a season recap form. It'll be the three of us again. You can find Jake on Twitter at AllInKid. Brandon Funston, same. Brandon Funston on Twitter. You can find me at IsItTheWelsh. Good luck, friends. And we will talk to you in the new year right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.